Consider is gone. But it conditioned the idea of I. So if the reality appears without understanding, then must be doubt. What is it? For example, what is it? Hardness. It's not the big the leg, the hand, the finger. Hardness. A dot cannot be a finger.
If truth changes from moment to moment.
True, just this. Is it true? Consider the truth little by little, one at a time.
Right.
Otherwise, we cannot understand further.
I guess my question is, if there is no persistent truth, there's no truth that is true all the time, is there a world where hard is soft and cold is hot if the conditions get there?
So let's think about what is true in a moment to understand the truth. There is a moment. So what is true at the moment?
Whatever exists.
Whatever is thinking. Sometimes it's like funny question.
Yes, or truth.
But it's so easy, but just about what is true in a moment. But the absolute, very deeply, very subtle is there.
I guess that's what I'm having a hard time with, absolute versus momentary, the ongoing truth versus momentary truth. So there's truth, 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 truth. And if I hear you correctly, there is no truth.
But what is taken for I?
Let me change my language. There is no truth that goes
really?
Throughout.
So this moment is not true?
Well, this moment is true. This moment is true. Mm-hmm. This moment is true. Mm-hmm. But this truth and this truth mm-hmm. are not the same truth.
Right.
So there is no ultimate truth.
No permanent
There's
truth.
No permanent truth.
Yes.
So nothing is permanent.
Because the truth is impermanent.
I guess that brings me back to the question, how can you know anything then?
This moment, seeing is not hearing.
Is there a reality in which seeing is hearing? If the truth changes moment.
Hearing
moment.
Is true, right?
Yes.
It's the truth. Seeing is another one. It's true too. Different truth, different conditions. Never last. Gone. Unknowingly all the time. It seems like it's there all the time. No change at all. But in truth, a moment of seeing is not another moment of seeing. The object which is seen is different too. What is seen now is not that which is seen a moment ago. Just only that. But it seems really so very cannot be imagination again about it.
But that means that nothing stays true, right?
So understanding what we take for granted then.
Even without the I, if I understand correctly, there is no permanent truth.
So, and what is the idea of that I? Because you said if there is no I, right? But there is, so what is the idea of I? What is it?
That which is alive and experiencing it.
Yes, but what is it? Because life is so many different moments, different mm-hmm. realities. See, it's life, really, it's life. So what is there at that very moment? To understand it, it's there and then gone. And this is the absolute truth that can be realized. But not at moment of doubt. Not at moment of to take it for something.
If there is the moment of gone, so there is arising, falling away.
Next one, new one.
New one, new one, new one,
yes,
new one.
Yes.
Then how does anything stay true over time? How can, for example, the teaching of Dhamma remain true over 1,000 years?
The teaching about that which is not permanent. anytime.
It
doesn't mean if
true.
something remains, but the truth of it is there at any time.
I'm sorry, can you say that
not
again?
Not permanent. The teaching about the truth does not remain because it's moment of understanding about the truth that it's not permanent. So now we take everything so permanent. So in truth, it's not permanent. Sati, consider what is true. That is the way to implant the understanding of the truth to be known, to be realized later. At moment when it appears as just the mitta or the image of just a reality.
So if I heard you correctly, the study of Dhamma is the study of impermanence.
Of the truth, arises, falls away. That's why there is a word in the teachings, all conditioned Dhamma, is dukkha, not permanent, unsatisfactory, and anatta, no one, nothing, no self, uncontrollable. If nothing arises at birth, can there be you now?
No.
So what is there is conditioned to arise. And the moment of birth is not this moment, gone completely. Everything is like that. And the pleasant feeling is conditioned to be pleasant. And the unpleasant feeling is conditioned to be unpleasant. No force to try not to be unpleasant or pleasant, but to understand the truth. Just be so courageous to face the truth.
To face the truth.
Now, it has a reason, and then gone. At moment of hearing, no more seeing.
That's an interesting problem, right? So from what I understood, a good life is trying to understand the truth.
And what do you mean by good?
I guess we can go back to that. What does it mean to live a good life?
Many wholesome characteristics.
To pursue wholesome characteristics?
Like, being compassionate rather than to be selfish and so on. We can understand that, but that which cannot be directly experienced is the truth of it arises and falls away. Kindness has to be kindness. Hatred is hatred, see? Who can control that?
I guess that's the question here. We can control that.
Okay, so what is we? This is the point.
Yeah, I think that this is where it gets interesting for me. I can accept the idea that there is no self.
It's not the idea, it's the truth.
I can accept
it. Hardness is not an idea. Seeing is not an idea. It's a reality. So thinking is not an idea. It's a reality which arises to think. With memory, without memory, how can there be condition for thinking of such story or subject?
Maybe you can use that experience when that sound ding and you experience anger or annoyance, whatever it was that you experienced, that already happened, right? Like,
yes.
You can't change that.
Right. Okay. So this is where, in a world in which there is no us.
Any world.
There is anger. There is fear. There is pain. Is that arising in a reality?
Pardon?
Is that arising in a reality? What is that which feels pain?
It is a reality itself.
So the pain is a reality.
Yeah. Feeling is a reality different from memory. What is real as only a reality with its particular characteristic. So I'm thinking about, everyone has no thinking about world. Just talk about what in the world, when there is a world, but what is a world? This is very important to understand. What we think we understand, but actually, what is it?
What is a world?
Yeah, this is the point. Very important point.
Is a world a moment in time?
And what is a moment?
It is the arising.
If not the arise at all, can there be a world?
No.
So the world is that which arises
the
and
world.
Falls away. That's the meaning of the world. But it arises so very rapidly. And so it conditions something which is seen with shape and form as mountain or ocean or a house or a bed or a shoe. But that is the shape and form of the moment of experiencing again and again and again. So it conditioned the shape and form to be known of what it said. And there is the I who see because no understanding of that which just arises by conditions.
Is the arising and falling of all, let's say it's matter, for lack of a better, right? The arising and falling.
So is there really you who is permanent?
No.
But when they see you, no understanding that it's conditioned to arise and then fall away, no you. It's see. The way seeing is conditioned just to arise to see. That's all. The truth is said.
Well, I guess my question is arising and falling of all things simultaneous, or are different parts of us arising and falling at different times?
That is thinking again. But what is the seeing? A reality which arises to see, which means to experience the object which can be seen only. By understanding that, no I who see anymore, little by little, until it can be directly experienced, which we use the term enlightened, enlightenment. What does it mean? Directly experience that which is now arising and falling away. A higher degree developed from intellectual understanding about it now, that it's true. And whatever is true can be directly experienced, but with no doubt. As long as there is doubt, how can there be the understanding of the truth? Like this, not an arm, holy hardness, which can be touched. So it's that moment is the world of touchy, the world of seeing. When they come together, the world of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And so the idea of I is from those moments, from moment to moment, so very strongly, believe, wrongly, taking that which is not there as is still there as I.
I guess I'm just wondering, do all things arise and fall at the same time?
By conditions. Because what that is seen has arisen, that is seen has arisen. Who knows that there are conditions for it arising for it? Can you detect the moment of just one reality arising and falling away?
No.
That's why they are conditioned to be the ocean, to be mountain, to be the sky, and so on. And that can be experiences one at a time. And without understanding of the nature of that, the shape and form condition, the idea of a car, a bed, a cushion, so on, but it can break down into pieces. And where is the bed? And where is I? And where is the eye? And the throat and all that.
The way that my dad, and I mentioned this to you before, the way that my dad told me when I was younger, and I was like, oh, that helps me
like
understand
a film strip,
it.
Right?
It's like what going to the movies, and if you just see the story, it's one thing, right? We think it's like one story, but in fact, there are so many different little moments, and the sound is also a separate thing, and like everything is like, if you break it down to one thing, then where is the story? You can't really pinpoint where it is. So that's like was really helpful for me to begin to explore ourselves.
That is a helpful metaphor. I guess I'm just trying to balance it with what else? My other knowledge. So it, in my mind, it makes more sense because matter is constantly appearing and disappearing simultaneously. So it's something is there and it's not at the same time. And that, for me, is helpful to understand the conditions, because what exists creates the conditions for what does not exist. And that's how everything, like, that model fits perfectly on this. So I'm curious whether everything shuts off and turns on again, or if there's just pieces that are turning on and off so fast.
It falls away.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, this, parts of this are here and not here at the same time. Parts of me are, or parts of this reality are here and not here at the same time. Is that true?
And this is idea. Until it appears at moment when it arises, because as the other reality are there together, many things. If there is no understanding of just one at a time, how can there be the understanding if they are not the same? They cannot arise at the same moment or appear at the same moment. The arising and falling is all the way, but at moment when it's there, it's not the moment of experiencing the arising because it has arisen.
It's already gone.
Already. But when you understand that this is not that, and there is attention to a characteristic, and understand more about that which cannot be taken for anything because it's just heard this, and that is sound. So at moment when there is the understanding, there can be moment of being aware of that which appears as just sound, and the next hardness, and so on. That is the firm understanding of the truth, that it cannot be there together in a moment. So where's the I and where's the thing? Because whatever arises falls away, impermanent.
So is it that sound and sight are not there at the same time? Or is it that sound and sight cannot be experienced at the same time by our reality?
By a reality which can experience only one object at a time.
But they still exist, even if it can only experience.
So instead of asking anyone, it can be asking yourself to answer the truth by yourself. Can seeing and hearing be experienced at the same time?
Not by the same person, but I guess so.
We don't talk about person. We talk about the reality which arises to experience an object that even itself is not the same one. The one which experiences sound is not the one which experiences this whisper object.
I follow with that. Can the two different realities experience sight and sound at the same time?
Never.
No, I mean, one experiences sound, one experiences sight.
Different one.
Different realities, but it happens.
This seeing experiences and this seeing, this experience that not the same.
Okay. And seeing and hearing are existing at the same
different
time.
Different moment. Not at the same moment.
So no reality can hear while any other reality is seeing?
It seems like the same moment, but in truth, when there is the understanding of the conditions for whatever experiencing arises, to see the condition for that which arises to hear is different. Different conditions. So how can it condition to experience two things at the time? So at any time, there must be only one moment of experiencing an object, because the function of that which is the chief of experience is that it arises to experience the characteristic of that which it experiences clearly. When we use the word clearly, it means that it cannot be other object together.
But Chetasika and Chitta is together.
That is thinking.
Okay, I think I have to approach this question differently. There is a reality sitting in Bangkok right now, hearing, seeing, touching, but there's a reality in New York that is, but there's a reality in Bangkok, let's say, hearing. There's a reality in New York, seeing. Can that happen at the same time?
Is it thinking or directly experiencing? This is different.
Can multiple realities exist at the same time?
A reality arises to experience an object, only one, because its function is to arise to experience clearly that very object that it is. So the fake diamond and the real diamond can be known at moment of seeing. Different characteristic, because that reality can experience the difference of each one. That's why it can experience only just one of this and the other one of that. So that can be the understanding of the difference, but not at the same time. Just one at a time. This is not this. Different moment.
Can multiple realities exist at the same time?
What do you mean?
Is reality one thing, or is it countless things?
Right now, how many?
I don't know.
Different
reality, moments. Reality, yeah, reality, different reality.
Yeah. But at the moment of experience this, not experience that. At moment of experience this, not experience this. To know that they are different, because experience just one at a time. So the characteristic of that which is known at different time, to be known that they are different because of different moments of experiencing different objects.
So all of us don't exist at the same time?
One at a time. No matter this or this or this. Just remember nothing, just one reality arising and experiencing at a time.
So it's only one reality experiencing something at a time, forever.
One. Can there be only seeing, no thinking, no hearing at all?
Yes.
Really? Just seeing.
And Rupa, that?
Just seeing, no hearing. No thinking, impossible. That which is not known is the truth that a moment of seeing completely gone, conditioned the next moment to remember what it's seen and think about that. Otherwise, there cannot be known whether this is this different from this.
So there's only one reality at every moment.
Experience at a time. But they're conditioned for the reality in the forest, in the sea, on the sky and so on, by conditions or at once, by condition. But that can be experienced is only one moment of experiencing can experience only one object at a time.
Lunch break. Lunch is
lunch
here.
Lunch break. And we're back. Okay. We only have another hour and a half of recordings, so I'm going to try to make the best use out of this. How does love figure into all of this? What is love in context of Dhamma?
That reality, a reality, always a reality, a condition. Reality just in a moment and then gone, but arise again and again, so it seems like it's permanent. Like now, seems like permanent. Many moments of experiencing different objects, one at a time.
So is love the result of conditions?
Yes, and the one who has experienced the truth still cannot eradicate attachment to sensuous object until Panya develop on and on. Different stages from the first stage to the last stage, arahata. No more attachment and ignorance. So natural to understand that it cannot be controlled, but the truth is that It's not anyone at all. Just conditioned to arise to be such and such at that very moment and then gone. Never be the same.
So is love one reality attracted to another reality?
Attachment to that which is seen as something. So there can be many degrees of attachment. Just this is the object. There is attachment to that. Not the degree of love, but when it's more, it conditions more strength. And then gone, for sure, sooner or later, maybe in this life, or it's forever, it seems, in this life, in next life, no more attachment to that which has gone.
What is the next life?
Yes, at the same time, but at moment of seeing, there cannot be love or attachment because there are only 7 mental factors to condition a moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, by other conditions too. We learn to understand conditions for whatever arises to let go the idea of self, only the wrong understanding. But affection, attachment is still there as there still strong conditions for the arising of such level. So natural, no one who can control anything but to understand it. When you experience that which is not true, it's fake, but it's so beautiful, you still have attachment to that beauty, even you know that it's fake. So it's the same. Even it arises and falls away, but attachment is conditioned, deeply rooted, to be attached to a certain object. So understanding is a reality. Attachment is a reality. What is there is a reality. Different kind of a reality at different levels. What about love and a delicious food? Not the same degree, but the reality is the same, attachment, not aversion.
Are there degrees of attachment?
Yes, so many words for different degrees.
How can one get rid of the sense of self to see the truth?
If there's no understanding of the truth, nothing can get rid of attachment. To see clearly that it's not just talking about it's arising and falling away, but it's there, the moment of arising and falling away. So when one knows what fire is so hot, but when it's far away, all right, it's hot. But when it's so close on the head, it's different. Right understanding is just when it's wrong, when it's more developed. It can let go wrong understanding only in the beginning, but there's the attachment and aversion. And that person understands the conditions for the arising of aversion and attachment. But still, it cannot be eradicated by the idea or the will of self or I, but understanding the truth and the understanding more and more, better and better. It can enlighten different stages higher and higher to let go of the idea of self.
I guess that's the question. How does that begin? Like, I hear that there is no self.
Just
if I accept that, what happens next?
Understanding whatever, better a little bit. For example, in life, we had food. Nothing is known as no self, no thing. There's only taste, hardness, smell, and so on. But it's not known as that at all. It's known as something delicious. And there is like, and there is citta, the chief of experiencing. That's why the absolute truth can be classified as that which experiences is the reality. So there are two kinds. Two categories of reality. One cannot experience no matter what. And the other experiences in different ways by different characteristics, different function. That's why from one Dhamma, whatever is Dhamma, it can be two kinds, the Rupa and the Nama. And then the Nirmana are two, not just one. The chief of experiencing is Citta. And the other reality which experiences the same object because it arises with Citta, but it's not that the chief, but it has its own characteristic, feeling, memory, and just ego or self and so on, different ones, are cetasika. That's why citta and cetasikas arise together. They condition each other. But citta cannot be cetasika, and cetasika cannot be citta. That's why there are many cetasika arising with a particular citta. And it makes cittas different by that which arises, by cetasika which arises with it. When it's attachment, cetasika, at that moment, citta thinks about it, experiences it, and the other cetasika performs a function, memory of such feelings of present. And at moment of hatred, it's different. That's why there are altogether 89 types of citta.
89.
At least.
And so for us to become aware of attachment and aversion, we would have to understand the 89 cetasika, is that to help us recognize?
We do not have all 89. Hmm. 89 includes all other plane and other moment. When citta of arahata doesn't have such unwholesome moment, so we don't have the moment which is like arahatas. So we don't have all, arahata doesn't have all either.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, the point of Dhamma is to study what can happen so you're aware of it when it does happen?
By conditions. If there is no understanding of what is there now, how can there be awareness with understanding of that nature which one has heard before? That is so true. Hardness cannot be taken for anything. No arms, no leg, no hair. And the citta cannot be cetasika. And the citta, then there are 52 kinds of cetasika, depending on what cetasikas arise with what citta, by what conditions. All about what is there in life. As it is, no one.
So if the ultimate goal here, so you, if I hear you correctly, you learn about this so you have an awareness when it happens, so you can slowly start to see the absolute truth regularly. Is that correct so far?
At this moment of understanding, it's a level of awareness, but it's not directly understand. Just only one. At moment of touching, they see it too. But when it's so clear at moment of touching, there cannot be other reality with it. And that is another higher stage of understand just one reality at a time, by conditions, not at will. As soon as one heard about the teachings, one would like to experience directly. That is attachment to the idea of self.
Interesting. The understanding that arises today for me didn't occur last time I listened to the same thing. This understanding today didn't happen then. So it's a different one.
I guess the question becomes then, for me, how does this allow me to lead a more meaningful, impactful life? Like how does this awareness allow me to be a better person or a better actor in the world?
Is that still the idea of I?
Mm-hmm.
So there is the idea of can I do? Can I try? Shall I do? But in truth, there is no one. The understanding of reality as it is the only way to condition moment of understanding directly of that which appears as no thing, no one at all. And how can it be at that very moment experiencing only one object? It has to be the understanding of the differences of whatever is there now to see that it's different one. And at moment when there is experiencing an object, there is the understanding of that one and the other moment of the other one, no more of that previous one at all, to let go the idea of it's still there.
But doesn't that basically mean that there is no way to lead a meaningful life?
There is a way which is not self, but it is the understanding of the benefit, the precious moment of understanding what is there. Because it's already there, but no understanding. But there can be the understanding. And it depends on conditions whether one can see the benefit of what is the best thing in life. Because who knows, life can be so short. It can finish this moment or any time. But what one gets from this life, the moment of attachment to what appears through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, are all gone. So what is the use, what is the precious thing in life? Always ignorance and attachment. But when there is a moment of understanding, the truth, which is not easy to understand because it's so subtle, but when there is time to hear about it, to consider the truth, and see the benefit, the most precious thing in life, it continues on by seeing the value or the benefit of understanding. But if one doesn't mind or care at all right, just live. How can there be the understanding more? Because Buddha taught for 45 years about everything now, from knowing the difference of whatever is there as not self, and conditions for each one and each moment of citta which arise and perform different functions at a time. Now citta sees one function, seeing, and then citta hears another function, and altogether there are 14 functions of citta just arise to perform one function. Not more than that. Who knows about the function? But it's so true that it can be known because it's there in that.
So when you understand the truth of one experience, that means that you only understand, if I understand you correctly, you only understand seeing, or you'd only understand touch, or you'd only understand hearing, so it'd be part of the truth, right?
But when there is the understanding of that which experiences, see, just the word, that which experiences, at moment of seeing, it experiences, at moment of hearing, it experiences, no doubt about the characteristic of a reality which arises to experience, but different moment, different object. Everyone would like to see pleasant things, but why does one see unpleasant things? There must be conditions too. And what moment is the cause to condition the next moment as result? And now, what is the result from what cause? We thought about everything, every moment.
Where does consciousness play into this? What is consciousness?
Is there seeing?
Yes.
Hearing?
Yes.
And what does it mean, seeing? A consciousness.
What?
So a consciousness is the moment when it experiences an object. Because when we use the term experience, there must be the object which is experienced. And now we talk about the object which is experienced. around, but there must be that which experienced it.
Yes.
So it appear. So the consciousness mm-hmm. is that which experiences.
Is that part of reality? Reality has a consciousness?
A reality, experience, an object. Seeing is seeing. It's not part of anything. It's not part of the eye. It's not part of that which is seen. But it is that only reality which sees, which experiences an object.
What is conscious of seeing?
It sees. And if you don't use the word conscious or consciousness,
mm-hmm.
just about seeing, what is that? So we use the word conscious or things like that. But the actual reality which arises and experience doesn't have any shape or form or smell or taste, free from rupa, no rupa together at the moment of experiencing an object. It's pure moment of that which arises, no shape, no form, but experience.
Doesn't it need work to impinge, to condition the experience of seeing?
Without the eye base and that which can impinge on it, can there be seeing?
No.
So each conditioned reality is arising and falling away differently by different conditions. Even thinking, different thought. By conditions, relation to right at all. How can there be, I'm writing about this and that? Impossible. I cannot draw anything, even the picture of but someone can paint, can draw very beautifully.
But someone can learn to draw. Right, they can go from nothing to something.
Even you try, it depends on previous accumulation, how much condition to be able to try to that degree.
This brings me back to the learning idea, because somebody can start in one place and create the conditions in their life to get better. So there is demonstrably the ability to change conditions in one's life.
And what about the others? Not this one. Five people
mm-hmm.
learn the same thing, but the result is different.
Some have, I guess, more conditions and some have less.
That's it.
Oh.
They've accumulated more conditions or less conditions for them to be
That's
able
why
to.
We have musician, a painter, and different talents.
This is exciting, though, because to me, that represents that we all have the ability to create a version of ourselves or create the conditions
no
to change our life.
Only accumulation.
Hmm?
Can you cook?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Without accumulation, you don't know how to cook.
But
and let us cook. It depends on condition. Whether it's nice, delicious or not.
Can I create accumulation?
No, I, but only that which is there more often with the wise considering about that, wise attention to that.
So we can create the conditions
not
to
be the reality which is there. Manasikara is attention. At any time when citta is there, there must be the chetasika which attend to the object which citta experience.
Interesting. I'm thinking about, you know, those people, like when they hit themselves and all of a sudden they woke up with like ability to play music.
Oh, right. Or speak a different language.
So that, I guess, it's just
in school, one is good in mathematics and the other is good in other subject by conditions.
I guess what and there's also a world in which somebody has seemingly zero talent, but creates the conditions that allows them to accumulate
not
talent.
Created, but understand the way to developed.
Okay, so that's interesting. What's the difference between that and creating conditions?
And the one who have no interest at all.
Yeah.
Different one. But the one who is interested in that which is learned can learn better.
So when there's understanding.
Mm-hmm. That's why there are many jetasikas arising with citta. And people are different by accumulation. Different kind of like and dislike.
So the behavior of a reality can affect the conditions for the next version of that reality. This is how we could improve or
by
devalue our life.
By conditions.
By conditions that we create, though.
No, we even would like to be such. How can it succeed?
Well, I guess, okay, so let's, if I may, I would like to take an example. There's an alcoholic, destroys his family, spends all their money, and then one day realizes that it's terrible for them. So they do all the things and they put their life back together and actually end up helping a lot of people.
So the condition is to realize the truth. If that not happen at all, how can it change? How can life be changed?
I guess this brings us to the idea of being intentional with your life. Or does
even intention is not that which is the accumulation, which is wisely attended to that moment. We can tell the danger of being intoxicant, but it depends on the listener. Nothing can arise without conditions.
And reality has no say in the condition?
It's a condition too.
What creates conditions?
Citta, the experiencing the object, condition, memory, the sanya, a reality which marks and remembers that which is experienced. So many realities arising together to learn to understand one by one. Citta is that which is a chief of experiencing the characteristic clearly, but it's not right understanding. It just arises to experience clearly the object.
So citta makes experience, and then there's a memory that creates the conditions. Is that correct?
Memory marks and remembers. At moment of knowing, what is this? Citta is a chief of experience, a characteristic clearly, and memory is there, marks and remember it. So that is the idea of this one is different from this one, by memory.
And that's
without memory, it cannot be known.
Is that the condition?
All are conditioned realities, and it's any reality is a condition for the other. For example, citta, which arises by condition, then it falls away. When it has gone or fallen away completely, absolutely, it conditioned the next citta to arise. That's why life going on continuously, no gap.
Is this the idea of... Okay, how do I put this? Is memory alone the thing that conditions the next reality?
Yeah, together.
Create the memory?
In a moment or the next moment. I can say the Buddha enlightened the truth that the reality which now experiences an object is one reality. And there are seven jetasikas arising together, conditioned citta, to perform the function. And we learn to understand what are the seven. Why so much as seven, so many as seven? But in truth, this is the at least. At the moment, there are more mental factors, more jetasika arising with one citta, like thinking, see. And each reality is beyond word to understand it. Like the taste, when it's so hot, can the other know how hot it is? While the other does not taste the taste at all.
So do we have choice?
we again. What we take for choice is a cetasika, a mental factor making a choice. A choice is a will, right? So what we take for a choice is a will. And in reality, that which is what we say a will arises with each movement of citta. It coordinates the other cetasika to perform its own function. Like the head student in the class, when the teacher comes in, what the head student do, telling the others and so on, they call it the coordinator, is that cetasika, which is the will for the other cetasika to perform the function.
What has the will? Where's the will coming from?
Okay, we should know from the very beginning, is that any will?
If there's a choice, there has to...
There is a will, but we say choice is a will.
A choice is a will?
Yes. You pick this one, not that one.
Yes.
Is it choice or will? Why not the other? Take you.
Difference between that and...
We use different words, but one reality only, different aspect.
So what makes the choice?
Without citta, can that arise?
No.
And many different choices from different people by conditions.
But...
My choice to have this kind of food, your choice have this kind of food by conditions. What make it conditions? The accumulation of such will.
So are conditions consciousness?
Everything which can experience has its own characteristic. So attachment is not a will. But when there is attachment, there is will to do this and that. Going shopping, see? The will to get this, and attachment is there, and the will not to get to buy this, a will is there too.
So is that an illusion of free will then? You never have a choice?
That which is not true is taken for true, for truth, be a truth.
So if the conditions are what lead us to believe something or make a choice, and those conditions are things that we have no influence over, does that mean there's no free will?
And we say that there are so many realities unknown, so we don't know that it's that particular reality at all. Like a will, see, it seems I have a choice. But without such reality, can there be any choice?
Without a certain reality, can there be any choice? I think there needs to be a reality that...
A reality which is a will to do, intention, coordination, the other cetasikas to it will, that which is the will to do.
It's will and attachment.
Attachment is attachment and will is will.
Okay.
And what we take for will arises with each moment of citta. So when the will is there, it's I want, I will, I make a choice, but actually it's a reality which is a will to do.
Is will a cetasika?
Pardon?
Is will a cetasika?
Yeah, when that which experience is not citta, all are cetasikas. Memory is cetasika, will is cetasika, like is cetasika. It's not the chief of experiencing the object. But it experienced the same object in its own manner, characteristic, function, cetasika.
Wait.
And?
Go ahead.
What is choice again?
Is it choice to send it this way to you? With our understanding that it's not me, but it's the reality. It's the will of make a choice.
that reality condition.
Whatever is there is conditioned by many conditions, not only one condition.
Okay. Does that mean that every moment creates the conditions for the next moment to arise?
Can we say condition the next moment in its own way, by its own characteristic?
I guess I'm just wondering, does one moment give birth to the next moment?
Yes, because it's accumulated from moment to moment. It's not lost. Once it's there, it's accumulated in the citta, latent tendency to condition whatever is there. If you have tendency to like everything, when you go to the market, you like everything. You would like to buy everything. But for someone, it doesn't mean anything at all. Just walk, and you go back.
Me.
So, and this is life, and this is now, and it's there, unknown.
What happens to the other choice that you don't make?
Different choice, but it's a choice.
Is there a reality that chooses the other choice?
It doesn't choose. It is a will to do. And we take it for a choice.
But I guess, okay. So this might be like a multi-dimensional question, but is there a reality that chooses A and a reality that chooses B, and then they keep?
It's the will to do, to coordinate the other reality arising together, to do as it would like to do. And we take it for a choice.
Are you asking if there's a separate?
Yeah, is there a separate reality that makes the other choice?
So learn to understand what is choice. It has to be that which experiences, and it has to be the moment when there is the will to do this or that.
So, and there is no choice.
Choice is the opportunity to create one thing or the other.
What do you mean by create?
Well, so I can either create a business or I build a home.
No. Without the will to do, can it be done?
No.
So you take it from my choice.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
That's why we have to understand the reality, not the story of it. For example, there is a reality which arises to experience the object, one reality. But when there is attachment, it's not that which arises to experience the object clearly. But since it arises with citta, which sees, an attachment is to that object. And sanya, remember, and marks the object as something. And the choice of what you take for the will is there to do, to see. So it arises with each reality, because it's the mental factor which coordinate the other's reality to perform their functions. Because even there, there is one reality which coordinate all realities there to perform their function.
So there isn't.
Okay, wake up. Do this and that. Even it's your duty, but sometimes it's there. And that which urge or coordinate the will for the other to be such and such is what you take for choice.
Well, okay, so this is interesting, because to me it's feeling like a chicken or the egg thing. So on the one hand, all the conditions that will make me choose a direction are already pre-existing, so I don't have a choice because I can only choose with the conditions available. And I've been conditioned to do only one of those things, so that's the illusion of free will. But on the other hand, there is also a reality which allows me to change things, to learn about Dhamma, to which So
understanding.
Yeah, to con- yeah. Yeah, so it doesn't seem like those two
we
can exist.
We just in terms of I, but in truth, with our realities, can there be I, what we take for I, like seeing now?
Something, I guess that brings me back to what is making the choice.
But it's not something. It has to be a reality, not what you say for something is a reality, which is not understood yet. Of its characteristic and its function. That's why we learn to understand 52, what in a day, what we take for this is what jetasika, what we take for I is what jetasika, what we take for choice is what jetasika. See, all are realities, different realities.
So if there's no conditioning for understanding to arise.
Impossible to arise at all.
Then why try?
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're getting at, and I can't.
I think, what's the point of learning this stuff if you have no say?
It feels like.
Does that make sense?
Understand the truth. So we show about our own thought, what is true and what is not true. To share the understanding. It's not ignorance.
But it sounds like I can't choose to understand it.
And so the question is, what is I? Because we talk about seeing is conditioned to arise, to experience an object. Where's I? When it's gone. No more. So without understanding, whatever is there experiences is I. Because not understanding the truth of that reality which arises just to see. So the I is from birth to death. No understanding that there is no I, but there are seeing, hearing, smelling, thinking, latent tendency, will to do, and so on, are different realities arising. Otherwise, there cannot be that moment at all. To be taken as a meditation. How come to be that moment, conditions, wise for wisely?
It seems as accumulation.
Yes, when it's there a lot. See? Now, one moment of life gone is there, accumulated in the atacitta, falling from moment to moment, it's there as tendency. Otherwise, there's no attachment again, no more. But it's not there, accumulated. That's why people have different likes or dislikes. Do you like durian? See, accumulated or no accumulation at all. The first time, it's dislike. But when you have more and more, it can condition moment of like, little by little. Like when you do not taste the hot taste at all, spicy taste.
Mm.
But later on you like it from moment to moment a little bit. How come?
Condition.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the choice, though. There does seem to be choice involved.
When you use the word choice, there must be someone.
Yes.
Making choice. But actually, there are different realities. Self is not choice.
Yeah.
The will, the coordination at that moment of a reality, you take it for I make a choice.
So itself is already conditioned.
Is that not true?
It's impossible to say. We can't know the future, so we don't know if our choices have make a difference.
For the one who hasn't heard the truth at all, what about futures? You're conditioned to understand the truth. How come to understand the truth? But for those who listen wisely, carefully, hearing again and again and again, with understanding developed little by little, as soon as what is there, there can be more understanding, while the other cannot understand that at all. We talk about different realities, so very different by conditions. Is that not true?
Yes.
To understand the truth, how come this moment to be different? Each moment is different from the other moment by conditions. So the past is the past. Just a moment ago gone.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just people seem to choose things that are very out of character for them, right? They go from one moment to the next and can do something terrible or...
Because, so how can there be the understanding of seeing? Before seeing, there is no seeing. And when they see, no more see. That which is seeing, that which is seeing, gone completely, never to arise again. Just follow the truth little by little. Until the truth reveals itself as it is.
The truth, did the truth reveal itself to the Buddha?
That is what it's meant by enlightenment.
Why did it, if the conditions existed to create a reality that understood the truth?
That is the idea of self. That is the idea of self. Not the understanding of no self. What is taken for Buddha is the great wisdom. Without great wisdom at that degree, there's no word Buddha, no enlightenment.
Well, so are you saying that the conditions existed for Buddha and then disappeared?
There are only realities.
That the reality existed for Buddha and then it disappeared again? Mm-hmm. Why?
When there's no condition to arise, can anything arise?
No.
That's it. No more conditions to arise. No more birth. No more arising of what is there conditioned to arise.
So
the
would it
end.
Would it be fair to say that essentially reality is starting over? So, if I understand correctly, the reality of Buddha is an endpoint. There is nothing more that arises once reality gets those conditions, right?
That's why there is the word parinibbana. What is that? No more birth. No more arising of citta and citta-sik.
So,
the real peace. No more seeing. One doesn't see that why that is seeing. What for? Just arise to see and see and see and see. What for? And at moment of seeing, it conditioned attachment, awareness of what for? And they've gone. If this truth does not reveal, it's impossible to let go the idea of no self. It's only that particular reality arising and falling away, just like now. It's there now, but Panya is not enough to penetrate the truth. It's so close because it's this very moment. That which is far away cannot be known. But what is there so close now? Is there any understanding of its truth? What is there? No one. Only different realities. The reality which experiences an object and the reality which cannot experience an object.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, that would mean that nirvana is the end.
Of that which arises.
That of which arises.
Because what appears is not permanent from moment to moment, from life to life. No more. So what's the use of just experience, pleasant object, clinging to that so very pleasant, and then no more?
So would it be fair to say that reality had to start from the beginning after nirvana?
Can they be thinking about the past and the future, but the past is gone and the future hasn't come yet? So can it reveal itself as it's so true. But this very moment is there now to show what is there. Seeing is there. Is it because you want to see, you make it arise, or it's conditioned to arise? What is true? This is the beginning of right understanding of the truth. Because nothing is so as true as this moment. It's there to be studied.
So this
standing is not a seeing. Different jetasika, different moment. That's why it can be learned what are the as not self, citta and jetasikas arising by conditions, performing the function, and then gone, never to arise again. In samsara, the circle of birth and death, only once, what for? No more. Many moments from that room to this room, unknown.
So did we experience samsara on the way from one room to another room?
Samsara is the arising and falling away nonstop.
Of moment to moment or from life to life?
One moment at a time. The moment which is the cause cannot be the result. So now, who knows that seeing is the result of karma?
Who knows that seeing is the result of karma? Yes.
Because the reality, some realities are karma, the cause, and some reality are the result. Vipaka. So who knows? Birth is vipaka, the result of karma. That's why there are different kinds of birth. To be born as human being, as deva, as elephant, as ant.
Wait.
Who conditioned that?
Who's being born?
Pardon?
Who's being born? The ant, the elephant, who keeps karma?
What is elephant? Elephant and what is an ant? In order to understand, it has to begin with what is it? We take it as an ant or an elephant. What is that? The truth is, from the beginning, what is it? To understand what are there and what condition that later. But there must be the understanding of the truth of that reality which we take for ant or elephant. What is the difference? the size of
one. Because now karma has come in.
So, anyone use the word karma, heard about karma, but what is karma? They don't have idea to understand karma at all. They just want to follow. This is karma and this is vipaka. And sometimes it is taught as the cause and the result, but what are they? This moment. Or where is it the cause and where is it the result? No understanding. But the truth is so true that it can be studied. It can be understood as actually what is an ant? What is an elephant?
That's interesting. The truth is so true that it can be studied. Did I hear that correctly?
Right now.
Mm-hmm. How can something be studied that's changing?
What do you mean?
Because if I understand before, truth is different in every moment.
By conditions.
So the conditions
no can be... No understanding of condition yet. Because even what is there is not known yet. But when what is there is known, there can be the studying of the condition for the arising of that particular reality. For example, seeing, is there seeing, there is seeing, but is it ant or elephant see? Is there seeing the ant?
Seeing is separate from the ant and the elephant.
So, is there seeing or is there elephant?
There's seeing.
Mm-hmm. And why do you take it for the ant and the elephant?
Because that reality has a very specific form and shape.
If there's no seeing, can there be any form and shape?
No, but there can be touch.
So from seeing, which sees clearly that which is seen as it is, the nimitta, the shape and form, is there to be known as this is a cat, or this is a dog, or this is an elephant. But what is taken is that which appears as shape and form. But in truth, only that which impinged on the eye bears the rupa, conditioned the moment of seeing to see it. And it which you see is so very tiny, very short, very brief. And just one moment, one process of seeing, it cannot be taken for anything at all. But when it's there, more and more and more, making shape and form to be known as something, and that which takes it is sanya, marks and remembers. If there's no memory, can there be a dog, a cat, an elephant?
Without memory?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It just don't know what you call it.
No memory of the shape of flower or bed.
If I'm seeing it?
At moment of seeing, there must be a reality, cetasika, which perform the function of marking and remembering that which is marked, which is seen as something. They arise together, but they perform different function. And with our sanya, can there be memory? Can there be right understanding? No sanya at all?
Yeah.
How can it be understanding? Impossible.
Mm. So
they arise together, but sanya is not understanding.
Right.
And understanding is not sanya, it's not citta.
Right.
That's why we learn to understand that actually there's no one, only different realities.
What's wrong? I'm getting it. Then I'd like to open another door.
That's gone.
Get it.
Okay.
That's why the truth is not easy to understand. It's so subtle, but it's so true.
To understand better than to not understand or not.
I guess the question is, how do you know if you're understanding without knowing what is true?
Understanding, not you.
Understanding is understanding, not you understand.
But what's the distinction?
Because it understands.
So even if Ryder doesn't understand, it understands.
Is understanding Ryder?
Yes.
Well, I feel like I do understand things, but yes, because, there's way more going on.
Because there's the idea of I.
Yeah.
This is a point. So is it right or wrong? Can you find I? Because it may believe that there is I. But where is it and what is it? And if it's that I now, what is that I?
I guess this is the interesting point, because to me being here and there being an I is very true, even though I can't prove that.
But can we say that there is the idea of I when there's no understanding of the truth of what is there as it is? But when there's the understanding, it let go the idea of self. Because seeing cannot be I see, impossible. Seeing arises by conditions. And where's the I? At that very moment. And at moment when it sees, it's that which sees, not I see.
So
and when it's gone, the seeing gone, and actually the idea of I is not there too. Any moment arises and falls away completely, definitely. So it's only ignorance conditioned the idea of something all the time. But in truth, what we take for something are different realities arising together. And that which experience arises to experience, that is life.
How do you take ignorance away? I guess that's what I'm saying. It's like I hurt myself. I say dumb things. How do I stop doing that?
If there's no understanding what conditions ignorance, there can never be the eradication of ignorance. But when understanding what condition ignorance, No understanding.
And that's what Dhamma helps with.
Every reality, what is real, is a Dhamma.
I guess the study of Dhamma as a practice.
Understanding the truth, the absolute truth, is Dhamma. What is real? I is not real. Seeing is real. What is real? Thinking is real, not I think.
Thinking like, is real, but not I think.
Yes. Like seeing is so, conditioned without experiencing. Moment of seeing, hearing, touching, so on. Can they be thinking about that?
I can think about things I have not experienced.
For example?
Flying.
What?
Flying. Like dreams. I could dream about being in outer space. I can think about being the president.
Really?
Yeah.
Never seen at all?
Well, I've never experienced being
yes,
in outer space.
But they're seeing for sure.
That's next.
Who knows what it's seeing? It can be anything. At that moment of a dream, is it a moment of seeing?
A moment of a dream?
At moment of dreaming, is there seeing?
I would think it's a moment of thinking.
So no seeing.
Yes.
But it seems like they're seeing. And what makes it like that? Memory, Asanya. Play a very important role.
But how can I remember something that has never...
If there's no reality which arises to remember, can there be I remember?
No.
So whatever is there is taken for I. No understanding of the truth of that particular one as different one from feeling, liking, attachment, so on. So marks and remembers of what is seen, what is heard all day or life are there. Condition the idea of I or they. So permanent. But when it breaks down to moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, no I at all. And what is true, what is not true.
Okay.
Without seeing, can there be the idea I see? Without hearing, can there be the idea I hear? But no understanding. So it conditioned moment of clinging to that as I, the experiencing, no matter its feeling, remembering, or will to do, or whatever. All are I. But in truth, no I. But when there is understanding, it's impossible to take seeing for I because it's just very short, arising and falling away, never to return at all. And that can be penetrated. The moment of enlightenment, the truth, reality, no one there, gone.
But Anya can really know that moment, Asan.
Why not?
But you're so sleepy, you see, I can't control.
It's not moment of understanding.
Yeah, it's true. Different.
Because you're asleep, what's the reality?
Then for one, the deep sleep will not dreaming.
Okay, I mean, since our time is slowly coming.
But do you think the kids? No, her lap, but God be with.
So I would like to hear what your suggestions are for creating the condition for understanding.
To understand what is true.
Yes. How does one start with that journey?
What is there now? Seeing or I?
Seeing.
So there's no I.
Okay.
There are different realities arising by conditions to be different. And when there's the understanding more about the conditions, it let go the idea of self. Because nothing can arise without its proper conditions.
See, I was trying to control sleepiness just earlier. I tried so hard. I didn't change the move and everything. This, and suddenly I just went not control.
So it's so natural not understanding the truth. Because how can there be right understanding without hearing, considering? Wisely about the truth Seeing is seeing, it's conditioned to arise. It's not I who just wanting to see and then they see.
And how does one go about seeing more, understanding more?
By conditions. If there's no hearing at all, is there anything conditioned thinking about it? What is real? What is seeing? Is it permanent? Is it just very short, very brief? And what it seems is not what it appears as things at all, just that which it sees so very rapidly that it conditioned the nimitta, the sign, the mark of that as shape and form, to be known with mark and remember as something.
How does one learn more about this? What is the training to be more aware?
Why do children go to school?
To learn what people think they should learn.
And what is learning?
That depends.
There must be teachings to be considered.
Sometimes education.
Otherwise there cannot be any understanding at all.
Try. If there's no...
In a day, do you have any time thinking about what is there as it is?
Yeah.
Really? Or do no you? Time to think about that at all? Just think about what is seen as something all the time.
And think in the moment.
What is true now?
See.
Is there at any moment in life? Or no condition to even thinking about that? If you haven't heard about anything, can you think about that? Which is impossible. That's why hearing is one condition. To hear more, consider more, can condition more understanding of the truth. So we don't believe in anyone's word, but understand what the meaning of that, whether it's true or not.
To understand the meaning of what?
Of what is heard. No one.
So everything is meaningless? All words are meaningless?
What do you mean by meaningless?
Well, if we consider...
It is meaningless when there's no understanding. Or another way, in other words, it's so meaningful when there's no understanding that it shouldn't be like that at all because it's gone. Never to arise again. Depending on conditions, wisely or unwisely, to understand what life is, so short or so long, with maybe taking it for years and hundreds and thousands, but still, it tends to end up by conditions. Even being born in Deva brain, very, very long life, but not forever. By conditions, to live long or short, to see this or that, by condition.
How do you create the conditions for understand the truth? Is it meditation, writing?
Starting from no one at all. What we take for someone or something are different realities, which appears as it is to be known as it is. That which cannot experience is there, but without that which experience, it does not appear as is there. Is that true?
So, yes.
And does anyone make it arise, control it to be such and such, or no one at all? Only conditions. The eye bears, the ear bears.
Only conditions.
So, beginning to understand life, any time, any moment is only a conditioned moment, arising and falling away in split seconds. The rapidity of the succession conditioned no understanding of the truth because it's so very rapidly. No time to understand it without the wise word about it, to consider whether that is true or not, the word about the truth, it's false or it's true.
How does one know?
It's there now, to be known.
But how does one know if they understood
it? Because if there is no word about it, it cannot be known. But what condition such word of about the way it is? It has to be the moment of enlightened the truth of it, because it's so true that it can be known. But there must be conditions to begin to understand the truth from the very beginning, that actually we take whatever which appears as something, but in truth it cannot be anything. It has to be only that which is there. And consider whether it's true or not. And this is a beginning to understand that there is no I. And when there is the understanding of no I, the moment of understanding more words about it, condition, the understanding of no I, more and more, firm and firmer, to condition moment of directly understand what is there arising and falling away. And that is another stage of right understanding. From kindergarten, on and on, on high school, university. That's why even understanding the truth has to be stage by stage.